Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
If you're standing in the wilderness right now, I want you to understand this first of all. It is a wilderness that is timely for your life.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Calicut, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Welcome aboard, Truth Seekers. Thank you, Brother Corey, for the introduction, and here we go. We're off to the races. I'm glad you're with us. I'm praying. In fact, we're about to pray and ask God Almighty to take control of this time that we spend with each other over the radio, or perhaps you're streaming this from the website. Whatever the case, what we need more than anything is for David Markham to get out of the way so that God might use this time to reach out and to bless you. Heavenly Father, that's what we need. God, I can't do this. Lord, you know that I'm limited, and my abilities, my capabilities are small. And God, if you're going to use this radio show, this very specific radio show today, for anything of any value, Lord, you're just going to have to get me out of the way and do it yourself. Lord, if you can use me to accomplish something that's worthwhile, then I would be most honored. Lord, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would send the one that makes preaching and teaching easy. Would you send the Holy Spirit to do what no man can do, to rightly divide your word in such a way that it might change hearts and lives, whether they be local in the area that I'm speaking in now or somewhere around this world. God, would you use us in power in any way that you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, with that being said, I'm going to start something new today, and I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to try to introduce this teaching today, and we'll see how many weeks that this teaching lasts. I don't imagine that I'll get it all out in one sitting, and that's okay. I've learned to take my time with the radio show. There are times where I'll get in front of a church, a congregation in front of a church, and I will preach a message in 30 minutes, 40, 45 minutes, and I can take the same word from the Lord and sit in front of this broadcasting mic through the medium of radio, and I can take the same word that I can preach in 30 minutes and spend two and a half hours on it. Because when we get a chance to sit down and speak and teach in this way through radio, I get to take my time. We get to go through things in a slower pace, give more explanation, give more illustration, perhaps bring in more scripture, whatever the case. But by the time, it's always amazing to me, by the time I get through with a particular topic or a word that God's placed on my heart when I do it via radio, it's usually expanded three or four times the amount of teaching, which is fantastic. Love the opportunity to do this. And so with that in mind, I want to begin a teaching right now that may last two or three or four weeks that I've entitled Necessary Wilderness. Necessary wilderness, comma, genuine faith. Necessary wilderness, genuine faith. One of the things that you will see appear and reappear throughout the Bible, but perhaps not pay a whole lot of attention to, but it's a reoccurring theme. Sometimes it's a literal place. Sometimes it's a spiritual place. But there's a reoccurring theme that we note throughout the Word, Old Testament and New Testament, and that is the wilderness. Some of the most fantastic stories of the Bible take place in the wilderness. Some of the most well-known and favorite Bible characters that we love to read about and study their lives and their actions on this earth and interactions with God. Some of their greatest moments took place in the wilderness. Some of the biggest breakthroughs that mankind knows anything about takes place in the wilderness. And I want to look at the concept of the wilderness for just a few minutes, but that's not really where I want to spend a lot of time. But the overall, overreaching umbrella, if you will, of what this teaching is going to try to accomplish is this. I want to be able to draw out from Scripture and from teaching that the time that we as Christians, as men and women of God, spend in the wilderness, and I'm going to talk about what that means to me in just a minute, that these are necessary times. And if something is necessary for our Christian walk, for our Christian experience, for our Christian development, then it comes to us by and through the very hand of God Himself. There are a lot of people in this day and age that we live in, especially here in America. I know a lot of those that are listening right now don't live in America. In fact, you may be listening to this radio program and you live in a nation around the world, on the other side of the world from me, that actually were the Christians there, you may be undergoing or enduring great persecution where you are. And the evidence that we see from our website shows us that there are people listening to the radio programs all around the world and even in persecuted nations and nations where the Christians are highly persecuted. So you may understand wilderness in a different way than we in America understand wilderness. But there is a teaching, a kind of a covert under-the-radar type teaching and concepts that go on through the American church that want to lead our people to believe or to think that if they are living correctly with God, that they will not have to endure and go through wilderness trials and difficulty. In fact, there are a lot of preachers today, American preachers especially. Most of them have worldwide or international television shows that you would think because they're so blessed in worldly ways with money and resources to have great television programs and all that they have, that the teachings that they are offering must be right on and very pointed and scriptural and true. But there are a lot of preachers that I've listened to them myself. This is not a hearsay. There are a lot of preachers that want to try to bring across this concept that if you're living right by the Lord, that your Christian experience will be one of ease and of comfort and delight. Let me say that a different way, that your Christian experience will be one that does not include struggle and trial and wilderness times. And here's what I want to show you through the Word, and it's really very easy to find. Doesn't take a lot of deep study. You don't have to twist or bend or spin Scripture to find that this is true. The truth is this: the greatest examples of Christianity that ever walked the face of this earth lived life in struggle and trial and difficulty. Not necessarily struggle and trial and difficulty that they caused to take place by their own hands through their own sinfulness. No, I'm talking about a wilderness experience that they went through that God Himself, the Holy Spirit, directed them into. So we're going to talk about the fact that wilderness in the life of a Christian is necessary. And the reason it is necessary, and some of the verses that we're going to look at pointed out very directly, the reason wilderness experience is necessary is because it is through the wilderness experience that genuine and true faith is developed, tested, and proven. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'll just say this. Without true testing, struggle and trial, you have no concept of what kind of faith you're operating in and how genuine it truly is. You have to have the struggle, the trial, the wilderness to see what kind of faith you're standing on, how genuine it is, and see how proven. It takes trial to prove faith. But before we get to that, that may be a couple of weeks down the road, honestly. I want to start here. Let's just talk about what is wilderness. In reality, the wilderness is a location on this earth. There's just different places on this earth that you can fly to, drive to, walk to, and when you get out in the middle of it, you're standing in the wilderness. Now, wilderness in reality is what? It is a barren, alienated, uninhabited, vast land. Sometimes it's very dry, but more than anything, wilderness is just a place that is uninhabited by humans, civilization. It is a lonely and a difficult place to survive in because there is no development there. There is no comfort there. There is no companionship in the wilderness. The wilderness is a barren, dry, alienated, uninhabited, vast, lonely stretch of land. You don't want to wake up and find yourself in the middle of the wilderness in reality and not know how to get back to civilization. Those are the areas or the places where it's hard and difficult to survive. Now, we can think of a desert. A desert is definitely a wilderness-type place, but not necessarily always a wilderness. You know what else could be a wilderness? The Arctic tundra, the North and South Pole, is an Arctic or a frozen wilderness. Barren, alienated, uninhabited, lonely place. In the Middle East, in the desert, in the scrubland, in the areas outside of the cities, not a lot of water there, not a lot of even animal life there. Lonely, dry, desolate place. However, when I'm talking about a Christian, you or I, finding ourselves in a symbolic place, a very real place, but not a physical place to stand in, I'm talking about a struggle within your heart, within your mind. I'm talking about circumstances in your life that you found yourself in which you feel like you are barren and dry and alienated. One of those places where you feel alone, not a lot of companionship, not a lot of comfort in this time of your life, and it feels uninhabited. It feels like you're stuck in the middle, somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. You know what the wilderness experience is like when you're going through it. You don't have to be told what it is. When you're in the middle of the wilderness, you know that you're there. I'm talking about a time of life that is characterized by struggle and difficulty and trial. We see this a lot in the Bible. There are a lot of our favorite Bible characters that spent time literally in the wilderness. Now, Moses spent a lot of his time in the wilderness. The children of Israel traveled from Egypt. When they left the comforts of Egypt, even though there was struggle in Egypt because they were in slavery, they went into a wilderness that was dry and uninhabited. They realized there were some comforts back there that we didn't even realize we had left behind. And they complained a lot about them to Moses and griped a whole lot about them before the Lord when they realized what they did not have any longer because they found themselves outside of civilization and physically in the wilderness. Moses led the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. But he's not the only one. Abraham spent a lot of time traveling through the wilderness. King David spent 13, 14 years of his life being chased around the countryside, living in caves, running from Saul, dwelling for the most part in the wilderness. John the Baptist shows up on the scene, preaching and teaching the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But not just them, Jesus himself spent his time in the wilderness. We have a couple of different times where we find out that Jesus spent days in the wilderness. And I want to read about one of those times in specifics here in just a moment. But I want you to also see that these important men and women of God did not just spend time in a physical barren land, but also they spent a lot of time in the spiritual wilderness. In fact, Moses spent his time in struggle in the wilderness trying to figure out what he was doing. You remember when he met God at a burning bush? What had he been doing? He had been herding sheep through the wilderness. For 40 years, in fact, Moses had spent time as a shepherd for his father-in-law in the wilderness. King David, now he was spending literal time in the wilderness living in caves, but he was also spending time in a personal wilderness as God was taking him to a place where he could teach him how to become a king, so that by the time he sat down on the throne, the time he spent in the wilderness growing, developing, and becoming a man greater than he ever saw he could be was necessary wilderness time. Oh, the wilderness is necessary. But let's read about the time Jesus spent in the wilderness in a very literal place, but also in a very real place as far as in his heart and his life and in the circumstances he was dealing with. In the first chapter of Mark, here's what it says beginning in verse 9. Mark chapter 1 beginning in verse 9, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan." Now, where's the Jordan River? The place where John was baptized in the Jordan River was running through the wilderness. Here's verse 10. "And immediately, coming up from the water, he," being Jesus, "he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then the voice came from heaven, and it says, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And immediately, here it comes, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast. And the angels ministered to him. I want to spend some time today talking about how the wilderness experience is a necessary experience. Do you know that whatever the Holy Spirit determines to do in your life or in this world around us, anything and everything that God the Holy Spirit does on this earth is necessary. He has never, will never waste His time on anything. Everything He does is purposed, necessary, important, and it accomplishes everything He intends for it to accomplish. The Holy Spirit has never wasted one moment of time, never done anything, and then stopped and thought to Himself, "Boy, I wish I had done that differently." He has never spent any time daydreaming about what He could do or He might do or He should have done. The Holy Spirit just is. In the moment He is operating in, He is performing exactly what He knows is necessary for that moment. And so what I want you to see to begin with is that the wilderness experience that you are perhaps in at this moment, maybe you are struggling in an experience right now and you're wondering, why am I in the circumstances that I'm in? Why am I so lonely? Why does this feel so barren? Why does it feel that everything is so difficult and so struggled? If you're a child of God today and you don't doubt that, you know that you are. You've got history with the Lord. Your life is in His hands. He has directed your life. You have relationship with Christ. That's not the question today. The question that I want you to ask yourself is, am I standing in a moment of wilderness? Perhaps you've been there for a while now. Perhaps you've been in the wilderness for some time now. And if you are, I want you to realize this, very important right now. You are in a necessary place. God would not have allowed you into the moment and the circumstances that you are in if he did not know that it was necessary for your person, for your Christian development, so that on the other side of this wilderness experience, you will have experienced exactly what God wants you to have learned what he wants you to learn, and will walk out of it with a tested, improved, and more genuine faith, and you will be a little bit more like Christ than you were when you walked into the wilderness experience some time ago. If you're standing in the wilderness right now, I want you to understand this first of all. It is a wilderness that is timely for your life. I'm telling you, the wilderness has come just in time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Job said that he might not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. If God has brought you into the wilderness, it is necessary and it has come in a perfect time in your life. Now, it never feels like the timing is good for us. The wilderness, never, we would never ask for it at the time that we're going through it. But God knows what he's doing. And I want to show you this in the verses we just read about Jesus. When Jesus came up out of the water, baptized in the Jordan, very important and climactic moment in all of history. Jesus comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit descends, God speaks, fantastic spiritual fireworks going off. But the Bible says in verse 10, immediately coming out of the water, the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. See, immediately is a timing word. It represents a specific time. And I already told you, the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything except for that it's perfectly on time. And he did it immediately. That means that at this very moment in Jesus' life, he wanted him in the wilderness right now. In fact, the word driven, that he drove Jesus into the wilderness, is the Greek word ekbalo. It means to throw out, to cast out, to drive out. It's the same Greek word used to tell about Jesus casting a demon out of someone, to forcefully drive the demon out. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that had just descended upon the Jordan in Christ right there in the river, forcefully drove him at that period of time immediately into the wilderness. It's a very intense, a very action-packed, a very forceful word, and the Spirit drove him into the harsh, barren, uninhabited, lonely, wild wilderness. David, would the Holy Spirit force us into a harsh and barren, uninhabited, lonely place in our life? I want you to know something. If he did it to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he will do it to us. If he did it to Job, if he did it to Peter, he will do it for us. It's not just that he's doing it to us. He's not inflicting it upon us. He's doing it for us. The Holy Spirit, God Almighty, knows exactly what we need and when we need it. That's why I want you to hear this morning, just because you're in the wilderness, take solace in this truth. You are in the moment that you are in for a very specific purpose. God isn't doing it to you. He's doing it for you, and he has brought it in a necessary moment just in time. The timing for Jesus wasn't a coincidence. Neither is the timing for your wilderness at this moment in your life a coincidence. Now, we're going to talk later about why are you in the wilderness? What is the purpose? What is the reason that you're going through it? But before we get to all that, the first thing you can take comfort in is to know and realize and understand that you are not there by mistake, and you are there right on time. The wilderness for the child of God is timely. Now let me clarify this one thing. If you're standing in hard times because your life has gone into some sinful arena that God never intended for you to be in, well, you may be standing in circumstances that are your own fault. But sometimes, church, sometimes, man of God, child of God, you know what I'm talking about. We get to places that we don't know how we got here. We don't know why we're here. We don't know why it feels like the world's falling in around us, why the walls are crumbling down, and things we used to play faith in don't seem to be faithful anymore, and the people we used to count on have seemed to walk away, and for whatever reason, trial-packed circumstance. Well, I want you to hear something.
There are times when God will take the best among us and drop us right in the middle of the wilderness. And He has reasons to do it. See, we have no problem giving God credit for His timing when it's all about blessing. When God pours out a great and rich blessing on us, we thank Him for it coming. We thank it for it coming just on time. But have you ever heard of anyone giving God credit for His perfect timing when it's all about tribulation and struggle and trial in the wilderness? Let me tell you something. Maybe you have never thought about it this way. Maybe you're in a position in your life right now where it's not comfortable for you to think about it this way. But we ought to thank God for the wilderness experiences that He puts us through. Because if Moses had not spent time in the wilderness, he never would have been the man that could lead them to the promised land. If David had never spent time in the wilderness, he never could have been the greatest king that Israel ever had. If Jesus had not spent time in the wilderness, the necessary results of that 40 days never would have taken place. If Peter would have not spent time in the spiritual wilderness, he never could have become the powerful apostle of grace that he became. You've got to have wilderness. Time. I've got to have wilderness time. And we got to come to a place perhaps where we have grown in our relationship with the Lord enough that we began to recognize the wilderness for what it is worth and begin to thank God for His timing for the necessary wilderness. Jesus was forcefully driven by the Spirit into the wilderness, and He didn't complain, and He didn't balk, and He didn't rise up against the Spirit. No, when the Spirit pointed toward the wilderness, because He was one mind with the Spirit, Jesus turned and walked into the wilderness. Easier said than done. The wilderness experience is necessary. We're going to talk about why that is. Please come back next week. This is just the beginning of this teaching. Some great lessons and necessary lessons to learn, because I know this much is true. I don't care how much you advance in your Christian walk. The wilderness experience is just around the corner for our lives. It's just a part of the walk we have as Christians. Those times are coming. They're necessary times, and they come just in time. Necessary wilderness, genuine faith. Come back next time. We'll continue this teaching. Until then, keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.